You're listening to Atlanta Baseball Talk, your weekly podcast for all things Atlanta Braves.
Welcome to Atlanta Baseball Talk, show 345. Today is Sunday, August 7th, and my name is Steve. I am joined by both Hamilton and Curtis. And guys, in tonight's show, we'll talk about hit streaks on the team, Folty's week, and we'll look at how some of the pitching prospects are doing. But first, guys, the trade deadline. So the week started Monday, the final day of the trade deadline, with no moves from the Braves on that final day. So, Ham, let's start with you. What grade would you give the Braves for this year's deadline?
So I'm going to give them an A-. Actually, and a lot for what they did and also for what they didn't do. You know, we Curtis and I talked about this last week, but the Demare trade was great. Seriously, something for nothing. Two cast-offs, coached them, gave them opportunities, and turned them into a power-hitting prospect. Really amazing. And I know that you, and maybe you'll have a chance to say your piece here. I know you weren't crazy about the Kemp deal, but I still stand behind that. I thought that was a very positive outcome in terms of what we could do with Oliveira at the trade deadline. And we just flipped Cervenka for those two Marlin prospects, which I'm totally behind. I think that, I mean, he too was a reclamation project, and to turn him into two prospects is good. And I, you know, I also am proud of the Braves, or give them credit for maybe not feeling compelled that they had to trade Markakis. I bet they got some offers, but they actually held to some sort of standard that they didn't trade Tehran. I felt, you know, I've given them grief in the past, thinking that they had always never had the upper hand, never had the leverage, were giving away pennies on the dollar. And now I think they deserve some credit that they didn't. They didn't feel like they had to get rid of everyone. They stood pat. So I give them a very high grade, A-.
Curtis, how about you?
I went B-, and I guess just because I thought there were some pieces, maybe not the higher, better pieces, but I'm glad they didn't trade Tehran. I'm glad, obviously, not that they were ever going to, that they didn't move Freddie Freeman. But, you know, I was kind of maybe hoping that some of the guys that they had, they could have moved and maybe picked up a couple more prospects. But honestly, like Hamilton said, that they, over the course of the year, I feel like they've done enough. They've got Akil Morris for Kelly Johnson, you know, a month or so, however long ago that was. And he's pitched pretty well for them. The Demeritt trade, Demeritt, whatever his name is.
Oh, yeah,
we probably should figure that out. obviously, the Matt Kemp deal, and they traded Cervenka and got the Marlins' eighth rated, at least according to MLB.com, their eighth rated player. They now, granted, they have a pretty thin farm system in Miami, but still, they were able to trade Cervenka, another guy that they sort of picked up from nowhere, and they got the Marlins' eighth rated and 26th rated, according to MLB.com, prospects. So it's just adding more to the mix for the Braves. And, you know, it's just kind of flipping things. So
what would you have liked to have seen, Curtis, is since you gave it a B-?
I don't know. I mean, maybe just move some of these guys just to make room for some other guys. I mean, moving guys like Gordon Beckham or people like that just to kind of clear some space to see some younger players come up. And I'm not saying that they might, if obviously these players can still be traded, and they might just, some of these guys might just get released later on in the year. To let young players come up. I'm not saying that they're blocking them right now, but you know, and you're probably right. They got some offers that maybe weren't that good. And that's good that they didn't just give stuff away. I'm kind of glad that they're not, you know, pulling a deal where they're trading guys away, and having to pay a bunch of the salary because it's a player that, like Jason Grilli, that is not that great anymore and has owed some money, and so they're eating a lot of the salaries for another team to take him off their hands. I'm glad that wasn't the case for some of these players like an Ibar or somebody like that.
Yeah, so I agree that the Harold Alvarez trade was brilliant. Like it's you know, another example of some of the great work that Copy does. I hate the Kemp trade. God, I just hate it, and I don't even understand how you guys like it a little bit. It's just doubling down on bad money. That, you know, they look at it like, yeah, we're only paying him $24 million for these 3 years because they just looked at the Oliveira money as sunk money.
Which is valid.
But they didn't. It is valid, but why are you spending more? what, you know, you really traded for a 20 million a year player in Kemp, a one dimensional player. Right. And when you see that one dimension jump you from an 11-5 lead Saturday night to a 13-5 lead Saturday night, was that homer that valuable? Was his, you know, under 200 batting average this week that valuable? His the defense, I know, Kurt. I wanted to give you a couple mentions. He's a one-dimensional player who's out of shape, who looks terrible in the outfield, who has an under 300 on base percentage. It was dumb.
I'm sorry, it was only dumb. For netting at a net of $8.5 million a year, that's nothing. I mean, we have under, don't we have under $50 million money on the field, or even, I mean, we have, that's nothing. And maybe we flip Sean Kemp. I mean, maybe he has a run where people take a flyer on him.
Matt Kemp.
Sean Kemp. And in some ways, the man child. Yes, in some ways, I wish it was Sean Kemp.
And 47 kids. Well, I will say, did you see this stuff come out from the Padres owner?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's destroying Matt Kemp and basically calling him out for being a massive phony for that article that he wrote that I thought was sort of endearing.
I mean, that article was great, no doubt about it.
And I know that it's obviously sour grapes and the guy's pissy because he paid him a lot of money and he didn't really do anything. But a lot of it came off as, I paid this guy a lot of money and he got really lazy really quick and didn't really try very hard while he played for the Padres. So, and there might be part of that that's true. So I get why they do it. I think that I said this last week, I was not 100%, still not 100% on board. And after watching him this week, it kind of reinforces. And it,
Steve, I guess that's not true at all.
Because I said last week when John Hart said that this was, you know, phase two, piece one,
that it's ridiculous that this is the guy
that they're acting like that they're going to start building the.
Right. Please don't let that be true. Just let that be spin. My goodness. But because I'm also not happy that they didn't move anyone else on Monday, at least someone like Jim Johnson. Like, I get it. Maybe they weren't bowled over by the offers, but you're just going to let him walk. Get something for him. I honestly don't want to hear the, we didn't get offers that balanced out players that we felt could keep us respectable this year thing. Stop with the half pregnant stuff. You know what I mean? Like, if you win 65 games versus 60, it's not going to change momentum in the next year. It's not going to change ticket sales. It's just silly. I give them a C minus.
Wow. But don't you think that gets sort of, I feel like, certainly with the Hayward trade, or, you know, I feel like, and even going back to the Simmons trade, initially we really felt like Coppy was in over his head. And I know that now, in hindsight, Coppy's looking a lot better on a lot of these deals. But I think you have, don't you feel like you have to sort of not just be like so desperate to move people that you'll take any offer? I mean, what if they just was horrible offers? I mean, don't you maintain some sense of, okay, you know, he really, if he says no means no, and we get to the deadline, I can't push him over. I mean, what's the big, you know, he has nothing really to lose by keeping Johnson at this point.
Well, Ham, I can't really argue with you not having seen what the offers were. You're right. There are scenarios where the offers were insulting and you don't do it. I totally get it. I just, Coppy's proven, if nothing else, that he's very creative and figures out how to turn, you know, mediocre things into better things. It just seems like they decided, yeah, we want to keep a few good guys around and let's do the Kemp thing because maybe he'll hit some home runs and that'll bring some people to the ballpark. It's just silly. I just think it's short-sighted.
All right,
guys. So let's talk some headlines from the week, but first, a quick break. All right, let us start with hit streaks. So how about two hit streaks on the team, on the inept offense, and yet we have two hit streaks going. So through Sunday's game, today's game, Ender Inciarte is at 18 games. So heading into today, heading into Sunday, his slash line during those 18 games, 394, 431, 455, even with a home run on Saturday night. Over the 24 games, not including today, the six-game hit streak, And then the one game where Kurt jinxed him out of hitting, and then he started this next one. So over those 24 games heading in today, he's hitting 370, 410, 446. I mean, it is just nothing but good news. And, you know, Ender was so great in the field and so exciting, and the deke play and all that stuff. It was a shame that, like, he wasn't hitting up to the level we expected. Boy, he is turning it around. And I hope they don't get any funny ideas about Ender and that he is our starting center fielder next year.
Yeah, I mean, the irony is that we are here in August and we finally have the 1-2 lineup punch that we aspire to at the beginning of the season. And so it's 3 months late, but here we are. And what a great leadoff guy. Ender is quickly becoming my fan favorite.
Yeah, no, I agree. He's great. And Hammy, you're right. I mean, I think that as we were heading into the season, Ibar was going to be the number two, right?
Oh, yeah.
It was going to be Inciarte Ibar. And talk about bringing no offense to the table. He's now in a 12-game hit streak. Heading into Sunday, through the first 11, his slash, 421, 465, 500. You know, if nothing else, surely he has passed through waivers, and it would be great to turn him into something, you know, over the next couple weeks. Because, I mean, people have got to be looking at him a little bit now because of this hit streak.
Sure.
Would you do it? Or do you want to keep the respectable product on the field?
I would let Ibar go in a second, faster than that, half of a second.
Okay, very good.
Yeah.
All right, so next, guys, let's talk about Folty. So before today's start, Sunday's start, Folty was encountering trouble the third time through the batting order. I mean, he was dominant through, you know, four and five, and then he would get to that third time through the batting order. His last three starts before today, the earned runs he gave up were 3, 6, and 5, and that trouble all came through that third time through the order. So let me stop there for a second, which is to say, like, I don't think it's a terrible development. It is the young pitcher thing, right? He's figured out that, I mean, it's either a conditioning thing or he needs another pitch, but great to know what you need to do. He's, you know, looking dominant through the first couple times through the order. And then today was much better. He went through six innings today, gave up one earned. He got through the first four batters of the lineup for a third time. He gave up a double to start it, and then a sac fly drove in one run. But this was a nice turnaround start for Folty. I was excited to see it.
Yeah, so is it that his stuff is not good? I mean, I guess the question is his stuff not good enough that, you know, he's sort of got something to get through the first time around in the lineup, you know, the batting order, and then enough to get through the second time, and then the third time he just can't do it, that he doesn't have enough ability to throw different stuff? Or is it mental? And I think it's mental, right? I think that he tires. I think that he just is not able to maintain the mental stamina to get through the game. And it goes back to what something that Glavin said. I think I've referenced it like three times now on the show. You know, he was in a game, he was calling a game that Folty was doing. He's like, him and Whistler and all these guys have got the physical stuff. The Braves lineup has got the best physical stuff out there, you know, in terms of potential.
Starting pitchers.
Just, you know, in the depth and all these guys, it's so good. But the question and the next phase of evolution for all these guys is the mental stuff. Being able to win when you don't have your best stuff, when you're going through the third time in a batting order. You know, when you throw two bad pitches that they get taken advantage of, you have to gather yourself and still. I mean, Folty has the physical stuff to be an ace starter. He's just got to get the mental stuff.
I agree. Yeah, I think that part of it is mental. He clearly gets, you know, upset when he doesn't get a call that he thinks he should or should legitimately. When things start to go off the rails a little bit, you know, his batting average against is actually better the second time through the lineup, even than the first. So I think that, I don't know, it could be conditioning. You know, he lost all that weight after the, you know, getting the rib tip removed and all that jazz. I just think he probably needs another pitch. I think after, you know, two times through, he gets figured out a little bit and they know what's coming. All right. So the team announced this week that weekday starts next year at the new stadium will be at 7:30. They'll go back to the old, old start time. So, Curtis, what do you think? Is this just being practical? Is it an admission of the bad traffic to come? A combination of all of the above?
Yeah, I definitely think it's an admission of that the traffic is gearing up to be worse than they're trying to portray. I on face, it's not that big of a deal, but these games are going longer now. One of the games, I guess it was in the Pittsburgh series, and it was a 9-inning game, but it went well past 11. And it was a school night. So
right. You're
starting games later, 20 minutes later, even that's really going to take a hit on the attendance during the week, especially when school goes back in session, which of course in Atlanta, it starts in the beginning of August for a lot of kids. So
yeah,
not going to make a difference, right? 30 minutes. Who cares? I mean, it makes no difference.
It's still gonna be horrible. That's a bad traffic. Everyone knows that's a bad traffic area. So you're probably right. 20 minutes because if people are going to be going over there to take part in that whole battery area and all that kind of stuff, pushing the game back is not going to have any impact on when people are going to be going over to that area.
So guys, more of the same from Freddie Freeman this week in that feast or famine from his offense. So six games this week, he had four offers, including a golden sombrero in one of those games, a 1-for-3, and then, you know, going bonkers 3-for-3 with a home run on Saturday night. And this included 12 strikeouts across six games as well. I don't have much to say other than Freddie needs to figure this out. I mean, you know, you look at his slash line and it's quite good, but this is like worse than Justin Upton stuff. You know,
so much for the protection that Kemp was going to provide to him.
In week one, anyway, sure. Yeah.
It is so frustrating because. So my son asks me all the time. It's one of his favorite questions. Who's your favorite Brave? Who's your favorite Brave right now? And Freeman is the default answer. But there is just this slightest. I mean, I love him, but I am disappointed in him. I mean, he could be better than Joey Votto or Goldschmidt or any of the first basemen out there. And he's not. Maybe he
can't.
Well, but it's not because of his ceiling is as high as those guys. I think it's that he has these lapses. He just cannot maintain it. It's so frustrating. It's so feast or famine. And, it's hard to embrace him. I remember that when Hayward and all those other guys were coming up, I never thought that Freeman would be my favorite Brave. But he seems to be the last one standing. And I think that there is a hump he has not gotten over. To that next level. I mean, he's peaked over. He's had these moments when he's great, but it's so frustrating. You want him to be better. You want him to be more consistent, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, he really has to be for the Braves. I mean, just aside from how much they're going to be paying him, his presence in the lineup is probably the most important player that the Braves have in their entire operation. So yeah, he has to be a lot more consistent. He has to be a lot better. Maybe he's still pressing with getting paid and all that kind of stuff, but yeah, he needs to kind of get over that.
I mean, Stevie, do you think he has it in him to be more consistent? Is this the ceiling? Is this the best Freddie Freeman we're going to see? Is this guy?
Well, I mean, I hope that the best Freddie Freeman we see is the one that was much more consistent, at least, than we've seen this year. I mean, you know, he's on a pace for career high in home runs. I would take a fewer home runs and just more consistent performance at the plate than this. I hope that he can at least go back to, you know, the 2-3 years ago, Freddie.
Yeah.
All right, guys, let's go down on the farm where we take a look at the prospects in the organization and let's focus on pitching, which came to mind this week as immediate answers for the major league starting rotation are so thin.
So crazy.
That 35-year-old Roberto Hernandez, also known as Fausto Carmona, got the start Saturday for the Braves in St. Louis. He did a decent job, by the way. 5 innings, 3 earned, 1 walk. But so let's see what we got. And we're going to do AAA last. not only because there's not that much coming from AAA, aside from Whistler and Blair, we'll get to them. But so in AA, Sean Newcomb, one earned run each in his last two starts and only one and two walks respectively. So it looks like, you know, Newcomb was not killing it for the first half of the season, but Newcomb looks to be rounding out, and I think that he'll probably start the season in AAA next year. Lucas Sims continues to dominate from an earned run perspective in AA. He's given up zero earned in his last three starts, but lots of walks, 15 walks over his last four starts, which accounts for his 1.5 whip. I mean, I imagine that's why they haven't moved him along yet, is he needs to
settle down,
you know, get his location a little better. Yeah.
Right.
In single A, Tukey continues his up and down year. Here are his earned runs given up over his last five starts. 1-3-4-0-5. All right. But he had a good start this afternoon. He had a start this Sunday afternoon. 5 2/3, one earned, two walks, five strikeouts. So, you know, look, he's in single A and it's going to be ups and downs. Hopefully he can get to double A next year and, you know, continue some of this, you know, build on some of this good work. Max Fried, one earned, three walks in his last four appearances. I mean, he looks like he's really putting together a very nice first year. I would expect him in double A. Colby Allard, our first pick in the draft last year, subtract a five earned run outing two starts ago. He's given up only one run over his last four starts.
Yep, 65 strikeouts too. Great K-to-walk ratio.
Yep. So let's get to AAA, where Whistler and Blair are. I mean, I shouldn't have said there's not a lot of to come. I mean, I think that Whistler and Blair are not that far away. So Whistler's had two starts since he got sent down. Eight innings, three earned, one homer. And then today he had his second start, six innings, two earned, one homer. So the home run ball has not disappeared. Now, who knows? I mean, I'm sure he's working on stuff and he's not really worried about the earned runs and the home runs. You know, he's trying to figure out his stuff, but, you know, hopefully it figures it out.
It would be better if he didn't give up so many homers.
I agree. Yeah.
Or suck so badly at the major league level. Well, hey, quick lightning. Could you name collectively, you guys named the 14 pitchers who have started a game for the Braves this year?
Ooh, this is exciting. Collectively.
Just fire them off.
I bet we could. So Tehran, Whistler, Blair, Williams Perez, Ulysses Chacin, Bud Norris, John Gant, De La Cruz,
Casey Kelly, Fausto Carmona's doppelganger.
Right. Roberto Hernandez. That's 10. Oh, we got four more. Rob Whalen.
You didn't say Fulte?
No. So Rob Whalen, Fulte, that's 12. Tyrell is 13.
Oh, Stevie.
And 14 is
Lucas Harrell.
Nice, yeah.
Well done.
That's very good. Yeah. Very good.
So right. Williams Perez just got moved to the 60-day DL. I don't know if you guys saw that.
Yeah, I saw that today.
And Gant got sick and had to leave his start as well. So.
Right. And Aaron Blair, who they were really considering having start on Saturday, because he had three pretty bad starts after he got sent down. And then his last three starts were quality starts, you know, three earned or less, six innings or more. He tweaked his knee in a bullpen a couple days ago, and he's on the DL. So that is your pitching pipeline, everyone. I mean, you know, 2018 is going to be much better.
We
2017,
hope.
Yeah, not so sure.
It's a shock. I mean, maybe the most surprising thing of the entire season is that we didn't have someone to start a game on Saturday. Like, how is that possible?
Well, because there's been a lot of injuries.
You know, I know.
It's some just, unforeseen stuff, you know.
But just if we were
it's
deep.
It's cliche, but
if
you
we
can
were
never
deep
have
at, I know. If we were deep at any one position, it was definitely pitching.
Did you guys read?
Relatively
deep. We're deep in single A and double A. You know, I mean, that's just the truth right now.
Yeah. Did you guys read that article that DOB put out, basically kind of focused on this search for pitching and all this kind of stuff. And it went back, and granted, you know, you had three Hall of Famers pitching, but it was amazing. Like him breaking down how many pitchers started in some of those years
yeah.
for the Braves in the 90s. 1 year, there were six guys that started the entire season.
That's crazy.
Like four guys pitched over 221 innings or something like that.
It was that one time Denny Nagel had the flu and yeah. someone had to start for him.
Right. Steve Avery. I mean, all you don't even think about Avery and those guys, but just workhorses. And I mean, it's, you know, like people talk about, oh, it's all these, you know, got to go back to the 20s. I mean, that's not even, it was the 90s and these guys yeah. were plowing through innings and
yeah.
going out there every single time. So, oh, those days.
Oh, the good old days. All right, guys, let's move on to Shot in the Dark. But first, a word from our new sponsor, Fan Essentials. So, folks, how would you like to get all of your favorite Major League Baseball teams' merchandise delivered straight to your door? Check out fanessentials.net. All you do is pick your favorite sports team, and every month you get your team's gear shipped right to your door. They find the gear so you don't have to. Each fan box comes packed full of amazing gear. It's a great gift idea for any sports fan, and prices start at just $34.99. Visit fanessentials.net and use promo code ABTSITD at checkout for 30% off your first month. Visit fanessentials.net. All right, guys, let's check back on last week, starting with our pick submitted by one of our listeners, Jonathan Pettis, who predicted that Freeman and Kemp, or Fremp, as I saw some people at the beginning of the week, that they would
here.
Go.
That started here on APT.
Oh,
yeah.
That's Storm right. You didn't listen to our show.
I just knew it was so
that,
great.
That part, must, you, that have part must have you must have slightly skipped.
I
over.
Had to run and get a drink of water at that
right,
part
because it was so great.
Because I was cheering for some of the stuff you guys were doing. All right. So he said that Freeman and Kemp would go back to back twice this week. And yet, no.
So close.
Kemp would have to have not been awful for that to have happened.
Oof.
All right. Although they did each hit one home run this week. Not in the same game. All righty. Or not in the same at bat there.
And they did both leave 175 men on base.
Yes. Yes,
in
they
each,
did. All right.
Each.
So. Let's see how the three of us did. I predicted that on the last day of the trade deadline, Markakis would be traded and that Yasiel Puig would become Brave. Not really close in any way, so much so that Puig was actually sent to AAA. All right, Ham, you predicted two homers for Kemp. He only had one. And Curtis, you predicted that Kemp would hit less than 200 in his first week as a Brave, and you were right.
Ding, ding.
Nice.
He went 4-for-22, a robust 181. So, Kurt, strong out of the gates to start the month of August with the win. All right, so, guys, what do you have this week, Hammy?
I say Inciarte keeps his hitting streak going through Saturday, but then loses it on Sunday. Sorry.
You are a terrible person,
Sorry,
Hammy.
Ander. That's a reverse jinx for him to go all the way through.
All right, I want him to beat Ugla's hit streak, which was what, 33?
35?
Yeah, I think it was 33. Mm-hmm. We should get our producer to look that up
yes.
during the show, like people do. All right, Curtis, how about you?
I thought you were going to say I want him to beat Joe DiMaggio's streak, which would be impressive. I say that the Braves hit the power surge that has come with Matt Kemp being part of this lineup. Braves hit 8 home runs this week, which on any other team would be pathetically sad. But for the Braves, that's a big output.
It'd be a huge victory. Yeah. All right.
Stevie,
I've got so
you're right, by the way. Our producer just texted me.
Very good.
Yeah.
All right. I'm excited about that.
Yep.
All right. So Tyrell has 2 starts this week. I predict he gives up 3 earned total for
Whoa.
The week. Oh, yeah.
That would be nice.
All right, folks, don't forget to get your shots in the dark in on Twitter or Facebook before first pitch on Monday. And if we pick yours, we'll not only discuss it on next week's show, but you also get a free gift from Fan Essentials. All right, guys, let's take a look at the week ahead. But first, a quick break. All right, 7 games coming up this week. And let's take a look at the pitching matchups. We're all on the road, 4 at Milwaukee, 3 at Washington. So starting in Milwaukee, Rob Whalen gets his second start against Zach Davies and his 357. And that Rob Whalen start was kind of cool. Like, it was disastrous. of course, that first inning with a 3-run homer and giving up another. And then he settled down and looked pretty good. So, I look forward to his next start. Next up, Tyrell gets Junior Guerra and his 293. Game three will be De La Cruz, who, had been horrible, but actually has been pretty decent the last couple starts. He faces Chase Anderson and his 5.01 ERA. And then finishing up in Milwaukee, the Braves starter has not been announced, but I assume it'll be Roberto Hernandez again.
Fausto.
Going up against Matt Garza and his 5.03 earned run average. All right, on to Washington, where Folty will face Strasburg, kind of sexy, and Strasburg's 2.8. Next, Rob Whalen goes again. He faces Roark in his 2.88. And then we finish up the week with Tyrell's second start against Scherzer and his 2.87. So not a starting pitcher in Washington with an ERA over 3 for that series.
Oh, we'll light him up.
That's nice.
Although the offense showed signs this week. There were some bad losses, but we had some nice production this week.
Well, no doubt. I mean, like you said, Hammy, Inciarte and Ibar, getting on once, twice or more every game.
Yeah.
Has not been bad.
Any concern that both of those guys, effectively every hit they've had over the course of their hitting streaks, have been singles?
Well, not from the top of the lineup. I'm okay with that.
Beggars,
they need to get
beggars
on
can't
for
be
Matt
choosers.
Kemp to,
that's right.
Drive them in.
Yeah.
And so, by that, you mean strike out with them one base.
Yeah,
sure.
And maybe hit a sac fly. All right, so I say the Braves go 4-3 this week, guys. They're going to take 2 in each city.
Whoa.
Hammy, what do you got?
I say we go 3-4. I think we split with Milwaukee and go 1-2 in Washington.
And Curtis, how about you?
Absolutely the same as Hamilton.
The smart way.
Yes.
It would just be great if they took 2 or 3 from Washington, just, because I hate Washington so much.
Well,
I really want that.
We all totally undervalued them this week, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, guys, that is the show. Everyone, please remember we are at our new home of Blog Talk Radio, as well as iTunes and Stitcher. And as always, you can find us at AtlantaBaseballTalk.com to access our shows, to check out our blogs, and to post in our comments section. And be sure to follow us on Twitter at ATL Baseball Talk and to like us on Facebook. Thanks again for listening, everyone, and go Braves!
Thanks for listening to Atlanta Baseball Talk, your weekly podcast for all things Atlanta Braves. To find new shows, to post in our forum, or to send a comment, please visit us at AtlantaBaseballTalk.com. How do we make-